Step on your feet. I'll let my precious angel have the big stool. You don't want to sit? Okay. Amen. Pray with us this morning. Say it with me. Say, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I open my heart and I open my ears and I expect you to speak to me and minister to me right where I am. My ears are open. And my heart is ready for what you have for me right now in Jesus' name. Now, Father, we just thank you for your word. We thank you about our marriages. Lord, we thank you that you're dealing with our hearts. Lord, even when there's times when we're dealing with unforgiveness, even at the times when we're dealing with a little bit of offense, Lord, we just thank you that you're speaking to us right where we are so that we can make adjustments and walk in the fullness of your blessing at all times and in every way. Lord, we just give you praise and we give you thanks right now. And everybody shouted, amen. Give your neighbor a high five and you can be seated. Oh. I don't have anybody up here to high five.
You never get the high five.
I don't get to do that. Amen. Hallelujah. I wish I had that video. We were in Nashville Thursday and we came out of an event and We had taken an Uber from our hotel to where we were going, and that was fun. We met a guy from, what country was he from? Nashville's a whole different world than what it was 20 years ago. I don't remember what it was, Kyrgyzstan or something. He just the sweetest guy, loved the Lord. And but on the way out, we got to ride one of those motorized
e-bikes.
But it had two seats in it, like a big tricycle. And this girl, she looked like Ann Lennox from the Eurythmics with the short hair and white hair. And she was pedaling and just bopping that thing and cutting off cars and traffic. And the music was beating. I mean, it was something. It was fun. We had a good time. It's good to get away as a couple. Isn't that right? I mean, you learn something if you listen to me here. It's good to get away. It helps you focus on one another because, you know, she's the most awesome thing that ever happened to me.
And vice versa.
Thanks for your support on that. Amen. Yeah. Well, she really is. We've had a good time in life, and we have fun together. Melissa was in that mode. There was, on the interstate coming back, there was the bridge work going on I-40, and traffic was completely stopped. And so we decided that...
Well, it said that normally where we were, it would take 2 hours to get home, and it said four. So we were like, well, you know what? We could either sit in traffic or we could take the scenic route. So we took the scenic route up through Waverly and Camden, and I counted all the Dollar Generals on the way home.
She did.
There were 11.
Bless her darling heart. Glory to God. But that was fun. Yeah. Then we stopped in Jackson. Philip Trent called. We got to spend time on the phone with him. I was on the phone with him for an hour and 40 minutes. We just talked about, he had surgery, by the way, so pray for Philip. He's doing much better. And he sends his greetings to all of you. But we had a good time, and it was nice to get away. Amen. Praise God. Well, we want to continue talking to you. I found this joke, though. The best marriage advice can come from kids. So read that to yourself right there. You know, kids have a lot of wisdom.
Tell your wife she looks pretty, even if she looks like a dump truck. Yeah. Sorry, some of you are trying to figure out what it says.
You know, but kids have some deep wisdom. Sometimes a little dark, but deep wisdom. Deep wisdom. And, you know, you should pay attention to your kids because that's something. Even your grandkids can tell you things you never knew. Tell things about you you wish you know that nobody else knew because they do it in public, right? So, you know, amen, praise the Lord. One kid in church, there was a lady playing the piano, and everybody was applauding for her, and he stood up on the pew, leaned over to his grandpa, said, "She's got a rather large repertoire." She was a rather large person, and everybody in the church heard it, and they lost it. Absolutely lost it. But kids always tell the truth.
Well, one of our boys, when he was about 3 years old, that commercial for 7-Up, was out, and so one of our relatives bent over, and he goes, "Oh, look like two big Christmas hams." I'm like, "Oh my goodness, honey, no!" Yeah, it was not Wesley, but you know who it was.
Anyway, it's good to have fun. Amen. Amen. We want to close out today and just share about love and life. I'm sure we're going to tell personal stories here.
I just did.
Yep. And just have some fun, because I think it's important that you realize we're real and there's nothing fake about us whatsoever. We really try to be as honest and open with all of you as we can. I think that's important for a pastor. You all need to know that we're real people. We love having all of you come to our home, because we want you to know that we're real. We deal with stuff just like you. I mean, the whole side of my driveway fell in again. That was fun. Made me want to shout. And we had to dig. Pastor Matthew came over and helped us dig, and we did things to help do that. But we deal with stuff just like you. All sorts of stuff. Dealing with the house, painting the house, dealing with leaks, dealing with stuff. You know, this summer we had to replace the main air conditioner at the house. The whole system. And if you've ever done that, how many of you know that makes you want to shout glory to God, right?
After we replaced the roof.
Yeah, after we replaced the roof. And it was just like, and Chase, we were talking, you know, it's like one thing after another. It's just one of those weeks, you know, and you're like, you're almost overwhelmed, but you kind of put the super glue on the corners of your Ritz cracker and keep the cheese pushed down hard, and that way your cheese don't slide off your cracker. You gotta keep a positive atmosphere about you and keep speaking the word, you know, because this too shall pass, right? It will. And, you know, it all worked out. Everything was fine. We were able to get financing for the air conditioner, and that really helped because, you know, air conditioners these days and the furnace unit and all of that all together, it's a lot of money. Our house was like $30,000 almost to replace that bad boy. And it's not fun. But you know what? How many of you know God's faithful?
Amen.
He's faithful. So, you know, we like being real with you so you know we're not fake. And we deal with life. Things happen. You deal with it and you take care of it. Right? Amen. So we've been sharing this series and it kind of took a turn on its own. I had other directions I wanted to go. But we specifically, seems like the Holy Ghost led us to talk about communication. And that's really what we've talked about. And I think that's been good because I think everybody needs to be a better communicator.
Amen.
Amen. Whether it's with friends, with family, with your husband, with your wife, with somebody you're considering marrying, you need to have good communication with people. That's important in life because heaven's all about people, not about things. Amen. There's going to be a lot of wondrous things in heaven, but heaven is about people. We're here to love people, to help people, to be a blessing to people. And you know, it's important that we do that. One of the biggest things I think in the Word of God is your love walk. And I want us to kind of hit on those verses real quick. And whoops, I think it went too far.
No?
Okay. Yeah, that was the title, wasn't it? I'm sorry. Part 4 is Keys to Walking in Forgiveness. This today is actually part 5. But let's look at the scriptures real quick, and then we're going to get all through our points today. The Bible says, love endures long and is patient and kind. Love, God's love in us, does not insist on its own rights or its own ways, for it is not self-seeking. It is not touchy, fretful, or resentful. It takes no account of an evil done to it. It pays no attention to a suffered wrong. Love bears up under anything and everything. Everybody say anything.
Anything.
And everything. That's something you ought to underline in your Bible. It bears up. This is the Amplified, but it bears up. Bears up. One guy said once when I was hearing them speak about love, when I was at Rhema for a meeting, said love bears up. That means love puts up. It puts up the heart of love towards anybody that's around them. In other words, no matter what comes at you, anything and everything, love holds up to it. It can handle it. Amen. Amplified goes on. It says, love bears up under anything and everything that comes, is ever ready to believe the best. The best. Everybody say the best.
The best.
Got to believe the best. Amen. And then the last part, verse 8 of 1 Corinthians 13, it says here, love, what? Never fails. Never fails. I don't care if it's your husband or your wife or some work relationship or someone who's been a best friend since high school. Anything can happen that can separate you. Anything can go on that can cause a dividing line. And we have to remember that we got to walk in love towards one another. We're supposed to be an example in this earth. Amen. You are supposed to be an example. Amen. When James called us on the phone while we were eating, I stopped everything and just listened to him. Let him pour his heart out. And I was a little overwhelmed by how bad the burns were and how he was treated and taken care of to get to where he was staying at home, because the hospital wouldn't keep him but overnight. And they sent him straight home. And all he's had been able to take has been like a BC powder or Advil or acetaminophen. My heart just went out to him. So we prayed about pain and talked about all of those things and what the scriptures say. But you know, we're here to love people. We're here to love people. We're here to love one another in our marriage, in our relationships. And you know, if you're going to have a happy home and a happy life, you got to learn to develop a habit of walking in love. Amen. You know, when you walk in love, you give up the right to be right. That goes over big, doesn't it? You give up your right to be right. Because love makes allowances one for another. Amen. I know some of you husbands and wives, you're like, I'm always right. No, no. You got to give up sometimes. You got to understand what it means to bear up under anything and everything that comes. Amen.
Yeah, we were counseling a couple one time, and we said, is it more important to be right or to be happy? And he goes, well, what if being right makes me happy? He was serious, though.
Oh, yeah, very serious. You know, when you're walking in love, you give up your right to be right. You know, because love makes allowances. Love does what's right. See, God desires for your life and your marriage to be like days of heaven on earth. You know, just because Melissa and I have been married coming up on 38 years, it's only felt like 2 minutes underwater. No, just kidding. That's a bad
Thank
joke.
You.
I'm sorry. Pray for me. I'll be dead before I get home. No, I'm just kidding. We've learned to adapt to one another. And that comes by spending what together? Time. We've adapted to one another. And you know, we've never been happier. We laugh. We cut up about life. We cut up about things. We make fun of things together. We talk about different things and just enjoy each other and have fun. Make fun of one another sometimes. I think I told you all this. I was blowing in my cup to stir up my Splenda in my glass, and she just lost it, started laughing
like,
out loud.
What are you doing? Why are you blowing in your drink? A straw works the other way, sweetie.
Anyway, but we have fun together, and it's good. You know, you got to be able to laugh. Isn't that right? You got to be able to laugh. And you know, the scripture is really clear about having a happy life. And I want to read this to you. This is from 1 Corinthians 13. It's verses 1 and 2. It says, if I can speak with in the tongues of men, I need to look here. If I can speak in the tongues of men, even of angels, but have not love, I'm only a noisy gong or clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all the secret truths and mysteries and possess all knowledge, and if I have sufficient faith so that I can remove mountains, but have not love, God's love in me, I am nothing. And I like the last part there in parentheses, a useless nobody. You know, you can make all the noise and sing things like, you know, praise me, I'm perfect. But if you don't have love, nobody will have respect for you. Nobody will listen to you. They'll tolerate you instead of listening to you. And you know, we have to make allowances for people. Are you with me? Amen. If we don't have love, and I love this, you cannot be a spiritual adult. You can act mature, but it's what you learn after you know it all that counts. Amen? Because real maturity walks in love. Real maturity walks in love. I know we've been wronged by some of the best. And you know, sometimes you have to have boundaries when someone's wronged you. You know, if you've gotten around them, you would have to talk to them. And you don't want to get in the flesh over something. So you steer clear when those situations are there. But when you're married, you can't steer clear of those situations. When you have a best friend that you hang out with, you can't steer clear of that, some of that stuff. You have to make allowances for others. And that's important in life. Can you say amen? Amen. Have you ever noticed that selfish people are never happy? They're always thinking about themselves instead of thinking about others. And that's God's plan, that you not just think about you, but you need to think about the world that's around you.
A lot of people who are depressed, that's one of the things that we suggest, do something for somebody else.
Yeah.
Because when you're doing something for somebody else, you're not thinking about, oh, woe is me. You're thinking of how you can help them. And you've got to give out.
Yes.
And not be selfish.
That's right. You know, the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 5, it says that love does not insist on its own rights or its own way, for it is not self-seeking. You know, if I was going to give you just a good southern term for that last little line there, for it's not self-seeking, love isn't filled with pride. It has no pride. It lets things go. It understands, you know, you can't insist on your own way because it does not get into pride. You know, demanding your own way is not how we walk in love. I think one important key to having a happy life, a happy marriage, happy relationships, is truly being unselfish, because it will make all the difference. You know, the first point we gave you last week was be adaptable. Everybody say be adaptable.
Be adaptable.
And we shared with you in Ephesians 5, talked about how be subject to one another in, out of reverence for Christ. Wives, be subject, be submissive. And that last part really is how it's really translated in a lot of from the Greek, but adapt yourselves. We've learned to adapt to each other. Amen. We've learned to adapt to each other, and we've always been working together for the most part all of our married life. We've always been doing things together, but we've learned to be adaptable. That's what relationships really about, is being adaptable to one another. And I know Melissa and I were very different when we first married, but we learned how to be subject to one another. Or in other words, we learn to adapt to each other. Amen. When I married Melissa, I needed her. She needed me. You know, there's different relationships that we have with different people and different times in our lives. And we need to learn what it means to be adaptable to that person so that we can build our relationships and have a blessed life and be a blessing to them. Amen. That line, be subject to one another out of reverence for Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One, in Ephesians 5:21 in the Amplified Bible. Be subject to one another out of reverence for Christ. You know, you need to be Christ-like in your attitude. You need to be Christ-like in your attitude. Amen. It's not something you learn overnight, but it has been shed abroad in your heart to walk in love. But you have to yield to that. Can you say amen? Amen. All right, number two, practice the love of God. Practice. They say that practice what? Practice makes perfect. I remember I taught, the boys came to me and wanted to know how to play and guitar. And I gave them a chord chart. I taught them a few things. But it was when they got a scale book that everything changed. And Wesley tell you that. William will tell you that. Thomas will tell you that. It's when that scale book got in their hands and they begin to do their riffs, they learned things where they could run circles around pop. And sometimes my jaw drops when I hear and see the talent that they have quadrupled and done all sorts of things with to grow in the things that they have. That didn't come overnight. Are they gifted? Everybody is gifted, but are you patient enough to practice? Because everybody in this sanctuary this morning is gifted from God. But you have to practice those things to be good at those things. Now, I'll admit, math is not my true suit. You know, God gave me somebody in my life who can add backwards, forwards, and sideways, and upside down. If an algebra problem is put in front of me, she already knows the answer. Well, I got to sit and think for a long time. And that's just how it is. Philip Trent, I bring all this up because Philip's one of those guys. He can add forwards, backwards, sideways, other way. He could be talking to you on the phone and lay out exactly how much feed that you would need to feed 52 cows and a couple of dogs. He can tell you how much it's going to cost you. He is that up to date with numbers. And it's frightening sometimes. There are those that are very gifted, but all gifts and talents came from the Father of lights. And if you want to be good at what you do, you have to practice. Everybody say practice again. Amen. And you got to practice the love of God or just be snotty. Amen. You have to practice walking in the love of God. It doesn't come naturally. It comes supernaturally. As the more you are in the Word, the less touchy you become. The more you pray, the less touchy you become. The more you're praying in the Holy Ghost, the less touchy you become. What's the word touchy, Pastor? Well, 1 Corinthians 13 is our guidepost for love. Verse 5 is perhaps the greatest scripture I think you can ever learn about the love of God. It's the one I have to write down and confess and speak in my own life all the time, because all of us deal with this one little thing called being touchy. So why that t-shirt got made. I'm walking in love. Leave me alone. You know? Why? Because what the scripture says here in 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 5, love is what? Not touchy. Or what? Fretful. Or what? Resentful. And I love the last part. A lot of people struggle with this. It pays no attention to a suffered wrong. No attention to a suffered wrong. You know, this verse right here, this and walk in love. This verse needs to be ingrained into each one of your spirits, in your heart, in your conscience. This verse needs to ring like a bell when you feel yourself about to step into the flesh and run your mouth. How many of you run your mouth a little too much? Amen. And you lost friends over it. You lost family over it. You hurt people over it and you don't realize it. Some people act like a know-it-all. And you know, they really state it very plain and clear. But yet they excommunicate themselves from conversations because of that spirit. It is a spirit, and it is an attitude. It is pride. Somebody got kicked out of heaven for walking in pride. Amen, wrote me. You know, love's not touchy. Amen. We have to grow. I think we need to let that get in our spirit, man, on the inside. And write it down. And I'd like journaling scripture, but I would write this down different ways at different times during the month. I am not touchy. I am not fretful. I am not resentful. I do not pay attention to a suffered wrong. How many of y'all been hurt before? Amen. Oh, come on, hold your hand up. You know it. How many of you have had somebody talk about you behind your back? How many of you felt like somebody took a big knife, like a machete, and just jabbed it all the way through you? Amen. Love's not touchy. But you don't know. I'm right there wrong. Love's not touchy. Love is not fretful or resentful. Love pays no attention to a suffered wrong. You have to work that out in your spirit, man, and quit letting your flesh be Lord of your life. Because that's what's going on. You know more than God. You're going to hold that grudge. You're going to nurse it. You're going to love on it like it's the only friend I got. Bless its darling heart. You got to love You got to let love flow. Amen. Walk in love. Walking in love means I'm not touchy. Amen. You got to remember, you, like we said, you have to practice the love of God. Practice it. Some people, can you write this down? Some people practice anger. And anger is what naturally flows because we practice it. But you have to practice the love of God. Some people who practice anger, they get mad at anyone and anything for over any reason. Being angry has become a habit in life for many different people, especially in the world and the climate we live in these days. They're mad at everyone. You know, being angry can become such an incessive habit. Is that the right word? Where it's just so automatic in your heart that you just boil over and blow up. But that's not God. Whether you're right or wrong, that's not God. Amen.
And you know, walking in love, a lot of people, they know the verse that says, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And you think, a lot of people think that everybody else is like them. So I liked this, so they must like that, but they don't. And so you've got to look at their perspective, and they're looking at it from a different view. So what you're doing may be actually hurting them, but you think, well, that's what I would want done. Well, maybe they don't. And so you've got to be open that other people are different than you, because we'd be really boring if we were all the same. Could you imagine? We fill in each other's gaps, you know?
That's good.
Like he said, I like math. I didn't care for English, but I did well in it. He was history. I didn't know anything that happened before I was born because I didn't care. But he watches the History Channel. You know, we fill in each other's gaps, and that's okay.
It's a farmer thing.
It is a farmer thing. I think Donna said
that. Am I right, Matthew?
Yeah, he does. So I know a little bit more than I used to. But I'm just saying, so doing unto others as you would have them do, treat them, you want to treat them the way they want to be treated, just like you want them to treat you the way you want to be treated. Yeah. It's not always the same how you want to be treated, though. Does that make sense? All right.
Amen.
Sorry.
No, that's right. As a born-again believer, how many of you are born again in here today? There you go, the whole church. All right, the whole church. I'm not talking to just the choir. I'm talking to the whole church. You're born again. You are a child of who? God. So your habit should be, your practice should be to yield yourself to the nature of the Spirit of God within you. His nature is to love. You must decide to yield to His nature, because that's who He's called us all to be. Amen? Which brings us to the third one. Oh, this is so good. Love what? Forgives. Love forgives. You know, we've said it, but I'm going to kind of pound on it a little bit more, okay? Love does not hold a grudge. Love is not, what we read a while ago, love is not touchy, fretful, or resentful. You know, those are things you ought to have in your Bible written down in the back or on a note page or in your journal. I am not touchy, I am not fretful, I am not resentful. I am not touchy, I am not fretful, I am not resentful. I do not hold a grudge. I have the love of God, therefore I forgive. I forgive. You know, if you desire to be really happy in life, and if you desire to be really happy in your marriage, you have to be a forgiver. Amen. I think it was William Barth, and I've said this before, marriage is the last chance for those that are immature to grow up. Marriage is the combination of two forgivers. Ruth Graham, Billy Graham's wife, said that. Marriage is the joining of two forgivers. And you know, even in your relationships, you got to learn to forgive and let it go. Amen. Somebody said this once, said that refusing to forgive someone and expecting things to go well for you is like drinking poison and thinking the other person's going to die first. You can't be that way. That's not God. God's called us to love people. I'm a people. You're a people. Everybody's a people. And Jesus was sent because God so loved the world as a whole. Not just who you think's perfect. All of them need Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. See, when you walk in unforgiveness, it just doesn't work like you're wanting somebody else to drink poison and die. You can't hold that grudge. Unforgiveness doesn't hurt the other person. Unforgiveness hurts you. And when you forgive, you are the one that's going to be set free. They may not ever even know that they did something to hurt you. They may not have a clue. But when you forgive, it changes you. It helps you release things. Amen. Forgiving is a significant part of your love walk. In fact, we can be habitual forgivers because God has forgiven us of so much. Amen. Has He forgiven you of a lot? You weren't so pretty one day, right? One time you weren't so wonderful. There's been times you haven't been the best you could be. Come on. But you learned what it meant to forgive, and you learned what it meant to even forgive yourself of your own faults. 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 13. I love this part of the Amplified here. But notice how it reads. It says, true affection for God and man growing out of God's love for us and where? In us. True affection for God and man growing out of God's love for and in us. You know, as we love God, we're able to forgive the people around us, even when it's not easy. Amen. You got anything?
Yeah. Sometimes, though, if there's an abusive situation or something like that, you don't need to keep putting yourself in the situation. You can forgive them in your heart. So that it's not just paying, you know, being
like
in
a
your
broken record.
Yeah, in your and going over it and over it in your head, whatever the situation was, you don't have to keep putting yourself in a situation where you're where you're being hurt over and over again, like an abusive type situation. But you can still forgive them in your heart. And because I know when I was a child, I had something happen, and it was an abusive situation, and I forgave him. So in my heart, I've forgiven him, but we do not have a relationship together. I don't have a relationship with that person. Does that make sense? Sometimes you do have to keep people out if they're going to continue to hurt you, but you can still forgive them in your heart, and it's not something that you keep coming up over and over again.
There's a great book on that subject called Setting Boundaries. I have that in the workbook in my office. It's a great lesson on walking in love, setting boundaries in your life. You have to do that sometimes. Amen. You have to. See, walking in love is not a matter of just holding your tongue either. It means not being touchy, fretful, or resentful. It means paying no attention to a suffered wrong. But see, love, God's love in you, is a matter of what is in your heart. And that you have to lean on. That you trust in. You know, no one comes out on top by staying in strife. Do you hear me? Nobody ever comes out on top by staying in strife. And in your relationships, in your marriage, in anything in life, it is vital for us to walk in love and have respect for the other's opinion. But it's vital for us to walk in love. Amen. There's times we might not see the same thing. I think a lot of times because of the way we're wired, we see it from one side, she comes at it from another side, but we're really looking at it the same way, and we learn to adapt.
Yeah. Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, I'm thinking opposite sides of the elephant. You know, it's like if you describe the elephant when you're on different sides, oh, well, it's got a big ear, and the other one's like, no, it's got a long nose.
But it's not fun if you're at the rear end of the elephant, right?
Yeah, I was staying away from that side.
Amen. Amen. You know, it's just vital. It's you know... we got to remember walking in love is the law. And you ought to write that down. Walking in love is the law. It really is. In fact, Jesus made that real clear to those religious people, didn't he? He told them straight up, you fulfill it all, boys, if you just walk in love. You'll fulfill it all. Amen. That's why I love when Bob Yandy and we were at Grace Fellowship in Tulsa when I was on the road with Mr. Driscoll. And Bob was talking about the love of God that particular Sunday. And as he was talking, he was sharing about the fruit of the Spirit. And he was talking about how the fruit of the Spirit is the character of God in essence. But he said in the Greek, it literally reads that the fruit of the Spirit is love. And out of love flows all those other fruits. If you're walking in love, you're going to have self-control. If you're walking in love, and I'm drawing a blank on all
joy,
of them.
Joy, peace, patience, yeah. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness.
If you're walking in love, all of those flow out of you because that's the character of God. And it's important. You know, we have to be able to forgive and to let it go. Amen. That's important. We respect others. But you know what? It's vital to walk in forgiveness because walking in love is really the law. Amen. It is our command. It's what we are supposed to be doing. And we know we can't please God unless we love folks. And that includes each other. Amen. In our marriages, in our relationships. So if you find yourself being touchy, fretful, or resentful, you need to know that you're out of the will of God. That went over big, always does. Somebody said, that just makes me want to shout. But you know what? Love is the cardinal thing. We have to walk that way. Aren't you glad God loved you in spite of you? Oh, yeah. Loved you in spite of you? I mean, how many of you had a rough childhood growing up? You had a rough parent. You had a step-parent. We had a step-parent. He was different for me than he was for Pastor Matthew. I wanted to wring his neck. He had issues with Agent Orange and different things from Vietnam. It was tough growing up. It was why I went to summer school 2 summers in a row, and I graduated high school early because I wanted the heck out of Dodge. And I busted my rear end to get out of the house. Later, I felt remorseful for doing that because I thought I left my blood brother's home to deal with that. You know, that's not a fun thing. But how many of you have been in those situations? Come on now. You've had a bad mother relationship. You had a mommy dearest moment. Right? You had situations where maybe an aunt or an uncle wasn't so nice. Maybe something didn't go exactly the way you thought it should. And you find yourself in life operating in your flesh. Even after coming to know the Lord, your flesh still is paramount. That's why you have to keep yourself focused on the Word and focused on the love of God that's been shed abroad in your heart. That's why it's important that we speak the Word every day, because those things need to be flowing out of us and not something we repress within us. We have to choose to forgive. We have to choose to walk in love, because folks, that's how you have a happy life and a happy home and a happy marriage. Which brings us to the last point. Anything to add? Okay. Number 4, take the Word literally and do it. Take the Word of God literally and do it. Be a doer of the Word. That's what James said, right? Be a doer of the Word and not a hearer only. If you want to, let me say this the right way. If you want to improve your status in life, improve your marriage, improve your relationships, if you really want to improve things, you must take the Word of God literally and actually do what it says. You got to. You must take the Scriptures and apply them to your daily walk every day. You must make a habit of doing that. Practice what? makes perfect. You need to practice the Word of God. You need to, just like we're talking about practicing the love of God, you need to put the Word of God to practice every day in your life. You got to take the Word literally and do what it says. We got to learn to put 1 Corinthians 13 in our heart and speak it out of our mouths and expect ourselves to come up to that standard. We always do. Do we always do everything it says? No. How many of you have fallen down a few times in your life? Oh, yeah. You know? We spend the chamber of the flesh. And every once in a while you fire off something you wish you hadn't have fired. Over the years, you know, I have, as growing in ministry and growing in life, you know, over the years, I've gotten better and better at walking in love. We all have times where we stumble over things. We get out of love. Repent quickly. We refuse to allow unforgiveness and strife in our lives. We refuse to open the door to the enemy. But you know what? When you're walking in love, in the love of God, that locks out the enemy. And that's why we have to practice it. We have to be a doer of the word when it comes to the love of God. The enemy's looking for a way to lock you out and steal from you, to kill you, to destroy you. But see, love opens the door to the Lord to work and do things in your life that can come to pass. Jesus said in John 10:10, I have come that you might have and enjoy life. But you got to be a doer of the word. You want to?
No, I was just thinking, you know, we were getting the games out for the game day today, and I have a stack of exercise videos, and I didn't realize I had so many of them. And, you know, they're not doing me any good. It's like all the Bibles you've got. You may have a stack of Bibles in there, but if you're not reading it and you're not doing what it says, it's just as good to you as those exercise videos are that have been under there gathering dust that I'm not exercising. You got to exercise the word, right? Yep. Or you're not going to see any change in your life. If you want to get some spiritual abs, you got to exercise your abs with the word. Amen?
That's right. Amen. Exercise. You're going to have good spiritual abs. You got to exercise the word. That's good. Amen. You know, a lot of people don't. And you know, this is Pastor Lovin' on you. But you know what? Christian television should be fourth or sixth on your list. Your first go-to should be the word. Your first go-to should be praying. Your first go-to should be worshiping the Master of the wind and the waves. That's your first go-to. Amen. You know, good preaching encourages you. But the Word of God, when you memorize something when you don't need it, that's when the Holy Ghost can pop it right back in there when you do need it. Amen. You need the Word in your heart. You need to take it literally and be a doer of it. Jesus spoke all these things to us so that we could have and enjoy life. But I want you to see this verse, 1 Corinthians 14, I think that's what's coming next. Yeah, I gave you the first one here, eagerly pursue and seek and acquire this love. Make it your aim, your great quest. You know, that's something good. You got your handout that has that in it. But if you want to live a good and happy life, and if you want the blessings of God to flow in your life, then you need to eagerly pursue the love of God. And the Bible says that. It says, eagerly pursue and seek to acquire this love. Make it your aim. Make it your great quest. I remember when we were getting a conceal and carry permit. Can I just share about that? You know, we had to take the class. We had to take the test. We had a Fayette County, was it the Fayette County deputy that was with us? I think so. And we had to do a target practice, and you had to score a certain score. But this guy was so gracious and kind. He asked me, he says, you've got one eye that's a little different than the other, right? I said, yeah, one's got a different prescription than the other. He says, well, everybody has a lazy eye. And he began to walk me through that and talk about it. He says, I want you to hold your weapon at your target, and I want you to look out of what you think is your good eye and then shoot, and then I want you to look at it at the other eye and shoot. And I found out that the eye that I thought was really sharp and right on was not. But when I used this eye, the other eye that I always thought was bad, I hit the target every time and within the perimeter where you're supposed to hit. And I scored well that night. He let us take a little bit of time with that. You know, a lot of times we get lazy in our flesh and we're not aiming properly. A lot of times we let our anger take control and our lazy flesh is taking charge instead of letting the love of God take charge. Because you have to literally be a doer of this word. Amen. And then lastly here, 1 Corinthians 13:5-7 says, love takes no account of an evil done to it. Love bears up under anything and everything that comes. I like mentioning that Pat Benatar song, Hit Me With Your Best Shot, Fire Away. And that song she sings about, I got a notch in my lipstick case. Go ahead, hit me with your best shot. And you know, it's kind of in the flesh, I'm going to cut you down. I'm going to take your legs out from under you. You are not my friend. But you got to understand, if the love of God's on the inside of you, love's not keeping a notch in the gun. Love's not keeping a notch in your knife case. Love is not keeping a notch in your lipstick case. Are you listening to me? Love takes no account of an evil done to it. It bears up under anything and everything that comes. That means nothing's going to come across your path that God's love will not conquer. Amen? You know something? Okay. There's nothing that can come across your path that love won't conquer. So we want you to think about this. You know, we've talked about communication all this time. And if you haven't heard all the messages, go back and listen. Melissa did one. I've done a couple. But you know what? Think about it. When you walk in the Word of God and keep the commandment of love, every door to good is open, and every door to evil is closed. Let me say that again. When you choose love over your flesh, you are literally opening the door for goodness to flow. Go through and just read Ephesians. Read it in the Amplified. Read it in the Message translation. The Bible talks about you walking in and living the good life. And smack dab in the middle of all that, Paul writes the words in the Amplified, making allowances one for another because you love each other. Ephesians is all about relationship. First two chapters deals with racism. Most people don't realize that. You got to think about God loves people and He first loves you too. Amen? Every door of evil is closed when we choose love. The devil, he can't have any place. You know, James 4. What? Say it with me. There's liberty. Yep.
Oh, is that the one?
No, but there's another one. Where there's strife.
Envy
and strife, there is every evil work. Y'all know that verse. Apply that to your love walk. Because that's what you're opening the door to. The enemy come in and run over everything that's good. But Jerry Savelle had that book, if the devil can steal your joy, he can take all your goods. It really starts when you get into pride and you don't walk in love. He can take your joy, take your peace, take everything that's important to you. And you don't want that. So what we challenge you today, obey the Word of God. Things will go well with you. If you do what the Lord says, you'll have a good, long, happy, joyful life. Why? Because love is so powerful. And what did Paul tell us? Love never what? Fails. Amen? Amen. Amen. Did you learn something today? Amen. Let's pray. Just bow your heads with me there. Hallelujah. Father, we just thank you. Lord, your word says your love never fails. We just thank you that, you know, when we choose to walk in love, we don't fail because your love never fails. When we follow you and we follow your ways, you are the way to the best possible life we could live. Lord, you have done everything so that we could live and walk in a happy life, so that we can have a happy life in our homes, a happy life in our relationships. Lord, you want our existence to be days of heaven on earth, but we choose to walk that way. We choose love. We choose peace. Those things are vital and important in all of our lives. And we just thank you, Lord, that we choose these things. And we don't place substitutes before you. We choose you first. And we let that love that's been shed abroad in our hearts by Christ Jesus our Lord, we let it shine. We choose to be a doer of your love in everything, in Jesus' name. You know, today, with your heads bowed, eyes closed, today is about walking in forgiveness. You know, you got to take the word literally, be a doer of it. You got to forgive. You got to practice the love of God. And you got to be adaptable. But ultimately, you got to be a forgiver. If you're in here today and you know there's been things going on, I don't care how long ago it was or how many years you've let it fester and just keep on keeping on, I think it's time you let it go. I think it's time you, so to speak, bury the hatchet, not in their head, but you bury the hatchet in the ground and you walk away from it. We read in scriptures that those things that you care about, those things that are things that tend to be heavy weights, we're told to lay it at the feet of the Lord, for he cares and watches over each one of you affectionately. You know, sometimes you can't change the situation, but you can walk away from it. You can let forgiveness prevail. You can set a boundary, but you can let it go so you can walk in the blessings of God. So if you're in here today, I'm not going to call you out, not asking you to raise your hand. But if you're in here today, you need to be free from that weight and that care that so easily besets you. You need to let that go. I don't care who hurt you. I don't care who you felt like stabbed you in the back. You need to let it go and forgive. Bible says to pray for your enemies. Pray for those that mistreat you. Got to choose love. So if that's you, just ask the Lord, you know, Lord, forgive me for holding that grudge. Forgive me. Lord, I forgive them right now. I choose love. I choose peace. I choose joy. I choose to not be touchy. I choose to not be fretful. I choose not to be resentful. Jesus, I choose you. Amen. Amen. In Jesus' name. Oh, it feels so good to be free, doesn't it? If you're watching online today, I hope you pray that too. Lord, forgive me. Forgive me. If you don't know the Lord, oh, it's so easy. Just ask him to forgive you. Ask Jesus to come into your heart. He'll change everything. No more cloudy days. Oh, storms may come up, but inside the King of Kings and the Prince of Peace reigns over you. In Jesus' name, amen. Everybody look up here.